Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Estela. I'm your host, Veronica Vilsky, and I'm here to speak with Lex Lambeck from Canberra, Australia, who currently lives in Florida in the USA. Lex recently finished a two-week Spanish immersion program in Cusco, Peru. Lex, thank you so much for making time to talk with me about your trip in Cusco.
Yeah, no problems.
So, about how long ago did you finish your immersion program?
I finished it in the end of, mid-December, 4 to 5 weeks ago.
Okay. And do you find yourself missing Cusco?
Yes, I do. I think Cusco is a great city to visit and a great place to learn Spanish. It's a simple city as a tourist to get around in, and there's a lot to see and do. And basically, I was only there for a relatively short period of time, so I only really scratched the surface when I was there.
What was your main reason or reasons for learning Spanish?
I needed to learn Spanish for work. I'm an Australian geologist who came to the US in 2010. And then for whatever reason, my first contract was in Mexico. And then from that first contract, they just kept bouncing on. And since then, my Mexican work and southern US work has continued. And when I was doing that work, I'd focus entirely on understanding the geology and the mines around there and really focus in on the work that I was being paid to do. And my understanding of Spanish is basically minimal before coming to the US. Well, it wasn't minimal, it was nil. And, and while I worked in Mexico or even in the southern US, I always had people with me who were basically bilingual in Spanish or English, and it always got me past for each job. But it didn't take long to really realise that I've just got to learn Spanish myself, and I just need to do it. So this is why I took the courses in Cusco.
What was your biggest challenge at that time when it came to you booking and then attending a Spanish immersion program?
I think the biggest challenge is just taking that first plunge to actually do it, choosing the school. There's a lot of schools out there on offer, and just reading the reviews and just seeing which one sort of caught your fancy when you first emailed them and how they responded to you. So in the end, it was just a matter of taking that plunge and doing it. And I haven't been to South America before. It's one of the only continent that I hadn't actually been to before. So it was sort of an interesting thing for me to do.
Yeah. So once you got there, what were your grammar and conversation classes like at Estela?
Yeah, grammar classes are always tough going. you can quickly get lost in this sort of state of boredom and just seemingly mindless repetition. However, the classes in Cusco, I felt, did a really nice job of just sort of integrating them with grammar and conversation. And the teachers were very good at just keeping you interested. As soon as they saw your face go a little bit blank, they would just change the topic and would talk about something else. And they would pick up on interesting words that we're trying to say. So we would suddenly be talking about tiburones in Australia, which is the sharks in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just have silly conversations, and then we'd go back to grammar again, sort of relax for a few minutes and then go back to grammar. So I thought that was just good teaching by the teachers to see when you're sort of phasing out. They quickly change the conversation and then would go back into it again.
Yeah, that is great. And you mentioned that you were the only student in most of your classes, or all of them, correct?
Yeah, I was the only student for my class the entire time, which at first I thought was a bit disappointing because I wanted to have that interaction with other students. But it really worked well with the teachers. I was keen to learn, and they were very keen to help me and work at my pace. So it did actually, in the end, work out very well. And they were always making conversation with you, so basically encouraging you to talk. And I was starting at such minimalistic nil level that, you know, they'd encourage sort of any sentence and any words that you said. So it was a very good experience.
Good. That turned out to be a good situation then. I'm glad.
Yeah, it was good.
What area of Spanish is the most challenging for you to understand and use in speaking?
I guess I still struggle with it a little bit, just getting the ser and estar to be, and just getting the right conjugations of it correct, and then not only having to think about it, but then say it at the same time in sort of a quick time frame. It's a slow process for me, but you know, I'm slowly getting there. But that's just something that I struggled with it. But my teachers, again, were quite patient with me and just sort of helped working me through it.
So now that you've returned, and have you started working again then?
I'm currently about to head up to Canada for some work and talking to a lot of Mexican colleagues up there, actually.
Have you seen a difference? Like when they're talking, can you understand more or do you feel more confident?
Yes, I do. And I've been having a few tutorials here in Florida. And I've continued with those just because I'm really, you know, trying to continue, not lose anything from my time in Cusco.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of feel I understand a lot more. And I also feel that when I see a lot of written Spanish, I can sort of actually translate it a lot quicker than I could. You can just pick up on the verbs and pick up on the meaning, you know, quite a lot quicker than I could. So that's good.
Yeah. And since you were learning Spanish for geology work, did you learn some vocabulary or phrases that were specific to being a geologist?
Not really, actually. I mean, I always knew a few words very early on, sort of oro and plata, gold and silver.
Mm-hmm.
Moreno is your drill hole. And, you know, when you're in on the job, you keep your technical language to a minimum anyway because you're working with the local people. And so the language in geology can be very simplistic at a basic level, and that's all we're really using when we're talking with the locals because they don't understand the technical words either. So
mm-hmm.
My main thing was just to sort of understand conversation because when you're down there in Mexico, the first thing they want to know is who you are, what you are, and who your family is, and they just want to know about your background. So that's what I was really trying to learn, those initial phrases.
Good. And I know that mining is a very important facet of Peru's economy. So how did your being a geologist affect your view of their mining industry and its effect on the country?
Yeah, that's a tricky and interesting question, really. I mean, the mining industry in Peru is a billion-dollar industry, and it plays a huge role for the country and providing, you know, money for the country. I think Peru faces a lot of challenges with corruption at local and national level, and mining in Peru also has some shocking reputations for environmental impacts and some terrible mine waste sites. So as a geologist who always likes to do things properly, and I freely admit I've got green fingers and thumbs as a geologist, you know, I get upset when I see pictures from Peru of just these huge areas of acid waste leach areas where the ground is just destroyed and the country's destroyed and it affects the local population. But I was reading recently that the government is now really trying to work on rectifying some of these past historic problems and really put national procedures in place for companies to strictly follow. You know, Canada and Australia and the US have very strict procedures that you have to follow, and I think Peru has to catch up there, and by the sounds of it, they are. So I really hope that they do continue with getting the environmental concerns under control, as, you know, mining is a big income earner for Peru.
Yeah. Back to school, what other types of students were attending while you were there, and did you get to know them?
Yeah, there was only really one other student in my second week there, so I was the solo student, the only solo student for the first week. And the second week, it was funny. You go all the way to Cusco, Peru, and then there's a woman from Canberra, Australia, where you grew up from, and she grew up in the same place. So it's just like, wow. So we thought that was quite funny. We didn't actually know each other. We were a bit different in age, 10 years or something different in age, but we didn't really know anyone in common when we first tried, but we probably would have very quickly if we talked through. But it was nice to talk to a fellow Australian. I hadn't talked to one for a while, and she was far better at speaking and understanding Spanish than I was, so we were actually in separate classes, and mm-hmm. we sort of had lunch together in that last week and hung out a bit in that last week. she was then working in, I think she was a doctor from Melbourne, so.
Oh, cool. So, although you only met one other student, who, what type of person do you think would maybe not be a good fit to an attend to attend Cusco or as an Acela school?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly met lots of other sort of students there. I mean, there's other various people over there doing things. So, you know, it wasn't, I didn't only just meet one person. There's lots of people there. The types of person that shouldn't really be attending, was that the question? Sorry,
Yeah, someone who might not be a good fit for immersion.
I think someone who's just not dynamic and willing to go with the flow and see where the school will take them at the end of each day. It's a very relaxed atmosphere to learn in, and someone who's potentially a little bit more uptight about exactly what they want to learn might find it a bit harder. And obviously someone who's from Spain and wanting to travel, live and travel in Spain, school's obviously not really appropriate either. And, you know, the staff were there to help you. So if you only wanted to get a minimal sort of language requirement, then, you know, you're better off going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Do you have an idea of something that maybe Acela should start doing or stop doing, like a critique after your program?
Yeah, I had to have a think about this. I'm still thinking about it. I can't actually think of anything that should be stopped at all. I'm very positive about the overall experience. One thing that a small suggestion, maybe a little bit more interaction between the students and the teachers and the director socially at the start, just to sort of help set the scene. Now, this probably occurs when the classes are bigger anyway, so I just thought it would have been nice to had a chance out of school hours to sit down with the director and the teachers and have a cup of coffee with them and talk about my background and what I wanted from it, so they sort of understood completely where I was coming from, and I can understand a bit about them and learn about their backgrounds. Again, that probably happens when the classes are bigger, and So that's something I'd still suggest, though, even if the classes are small, just to take that moment of sort of a social out-of-school time, just to have a quick cup of coffee or something and talk about things in a social sense.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. I will pass that one along.
Oh, excellent.
You mentioned to me that you took a trip through a local travel agency to the Sacred Valley in Machu Picchu. Correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I chatted with Igor, the school director, about it, because I could see straight away in Cusco there's just multiple travel agencies, and you could spend a huge amount of time just going around figuring it out yourself. And I thought, well, it's much simpler just to ask the director, Igor, so I did. And he gave me the name of a travel agent, and he said they'll give you a good rate, and I then simply went into town and found that travel agent and walked in and started talking to them. And the travel agent that the school recommends, they can speak English very well, so there's no chance of any misunderstanding. And, you know, I wanted to see the Sacred Valley and Machu Picchu, and I had a couple of days to do it, and I just wanted to figure out the best ways and the options of doing that. And so the agent talked me through it, and I felt that I ended up getting quite a good sort of bundled deal to have a day in the Sacred Valley and a day in Machu Picchu. And they organised all the transport and the one night's accommodation in Aguas Calientes, where you stay before you go up Machu Picchu. So in the end, I think they ended up providing, you know, just a really simplistic sort of package bundle to do it.
Yeah. And how was your trip to both of those places?
Oh, I think it was really good. My trip to the Sacred Valley, I have to admit, I was feeling a little bit green, so to speak. I had got some sort of stomach virus the day before, a couple of days before, so I wasn't feeling the best for Sacred Valley. I wasn't ill or anything, but I wasn't physically sick, but walking up the steps and things was a bit challenging. But the time I came to Machu Picchu, I was feeling much better, and it all went very well, and just walking up to Machu Picchu for sunrise was a fantastic experience, and just walking up with other backpackers that you met along the way, it was a great experience.
Awesome. What form of transportation did you use most frequently?
I guess I tried to walk a lot of places, because I always enjoy walking, but I used the taxis a lot in Cusco, and for basically 4 soles, I think it's 3 soles to the dollar, you can go anywhere in town, and that was pretty straightforward. And then I also actually, just for fun, a few of us used the local buses, which were even cheaper again, and they were sort of like 10, 12-seater buses, and it felt like you had double the amount of people on board. It's sort of 6'3", trying to stand up. Well, I just couldn't stand up. Maybe my shoulders hit the ceiling. So they weren't the most comfortable of rides. I sort of felt like I was bent over double. But they were incredibly cheap, less than a sole, I think. Can't remember the exact details because I probably hit my head on the ceiling too many times. But, yeah, that was sort of, you know, just bundled in with a lot of local people. So it's all part of the experience, I guess.
Right. I was going to say, it's a good experience to say you tried
I tried it a couple of times. I thought, oh, I think I'll just get a taxi.
Can you tell me a little bit about your homestay in Cusco?
Look, I was really impressed with the homestay, and I think it was excellent. The host family were just so generous and keen to help out. And at the same time, they also respected your own personal space. And I was just really impressed with the family and just how generous they were. They just gave you, you know, they don't know you, and they gave you a key to the front door of their house and said, go for it, basically. And they cooked a couple of meals a day for you, which was great. It was just, that was really good. I did find the houses in Cusco, or the house in Cusco, I guess it was there in December. It was quite cold, and I thought I could handle the cold, but after my couple of years in Florida, I felt like I felt a bit colder. So there's no heating in the houses there, and it doesn't affect the locals at all. But if you're not used to the cold and you're going there in November, December, January, I'd certainly think about taking some warm clothing. So I had a thermal top, which I ended up sleeping in, and so it was fine. And then one night, I think my room flooded. It did flood just because I was getting work done next door and all the water came through the ceiling of my room. And so there's a bit of excitement there. So I think for anyone doing a homestay option, I think it's really good to help practice your Spanish, and the families were really helpful to help get you to speak Spanish because they didn't know any English or very limited English. But I'd suggest if you do it, you just go in with a really open mind.
Yeah, that's a good advice. What was your favorite restaurant that you tried while you were in Cusco?
That's a good question too, because I can't remember the name of the restaurant. Sorry, not much help. But there's plenty of restaurants around the Playa de Armas up in the Central Park, and I think they're all pretty good. We found one that was offering free pisco sours if you ate there one night, so I cheekily said, well, if you give us 2 free pisco sours each, we'll eat there. And they said yes, so in we went. And the food was quite good too. It was, you know, you got to try your koi, your guinea pig, and your alpaca, and your various, I think, llama as well. So, you know, it was quite fun.
Did you enjoy the pisco sours?
Yeah, we did.
Good.
So I've cooked. There was no problem there.
How is the Peruvian culture in Cusco different from your hometown?
Oh, I guess there's no real comparison, really. You know, just so very, very different. And the thing that really struck me is, you know, when you're in Cusco and you go into the markets to see, you see all the food being prepared, including the meats. So you see just about every part of a cow hanging up, including the head, feet, tongue, stomach, etc. It's quite an eye-opener, and you just would never see anything like that in so blatant in, you know, Canberra, Australia, or even in Gainesville, Florida, where I'm living at the moment. And I also just found the Cusco people to be just very nice, and they, when you're in the markets, they weren't really overly pushy with you if you were asking about wanting to buy things. You know, I've travelled a lot through Southeast Asia and India, and there the bartering and the haggling for things is a lot more pushy and in your face, but I found it a bit more relaxed and easygoing in Cusco.
Nice. Do you have a favourite or memorable Spanish word or phrase?
Yeah, that's... I'm not entirely sure if the teacher was pulling my leg here or not, but we were talking about Google.
Okay.
And he was talking about Googling things, or Googling. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was pretty funny to hear Google being referred to as Googly. I'm not sure if he was just pulling my leg or not, but it sounded funny.
I think that's real.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But it's the call Googly Googly, I just thought.
Yep. And I've heard, too, like they made it into a verb, too, like googlear.
Yeah, that's right. So I thought that was pretty funny.
It is good. Google's everywhere.
Yeah, it is. Or googly is everywhere.
Oh, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Look, I think the main thing is just, to have fun. And if you're hesitating about going to Cusco, just do it. I found it a really rewarding experience in just so many different ways.
Good. Muchísimas gracias, Lex, and thank you for taking the time to speak with me, and I hope you can return someday to Cusco or to one of our other schools.
Yes, para hoy. Muchas gracias.